Welcome to another episode of The Dawn of Shades. I'm your host, Gia Scott, and today is February 17th, 2009. We're on the trailing edge of winter. I'm thinking back to when I was a kid, February was always kind of a nothing month. The holidays were well past, spring was ages away, the fun of winter had faded, and it was just a month to endure. No good holidays, you know, at least in the eyes of a kid. About the only good part was Valentine's Day. At least when I was still young enough to be thrilled with a cut-and-paste crowd. I would say, looking back through the trunk that holds my childhood, that February was the month of the blahs. Nothing really going on, good or bad, no reason to get very excited. Sometimes we all have times like that. Nothing particularly good or bad, just a time to be endured. Go to work, get paid, pay bills, repeat. But do we really have the luxury of so much allotted time that we can afford to have times when we can do nothing more than endure and hit that autopilot button and go on with the go to work, get paid, pay bills, repeat over and over? Now, 100 years sounds like a long time when you're 20. At 25, you realize that you're a quarter of a century old. At 50, hey, you're halfway there. And sometime around 30-something, someone hits fast-forward on your timeline, and you're suddenly on the fast track to that 100-year mark. Around 50, it gets punched again, I'm told, but the real deal happens at 70, fast-forward. It only sounds like a good idea when you're 5 and looking forward to being 6. It might even be a good idea at 12 when you're about to be 13. At 30-something, that just means you have to pay bills faster. When do we have so much time we can afford to waste time and just kill it? We really can't, you know. Whether you are struggling towards greater awareness or struggling to make a living, you don't have time to waste without getting something out of it. That also means if you're struggling with things like addiction, grief, pain, illness, disability, allergies, whatever, you can't afford to waste the time you have because we also didn't get a money-back guarantee to make sure that we didn't get our number called before that 100-year mark is achieved. What if today is the last day of your life? Have you accomplished everything you can with today? Have you stayed on the mark for your life? Today, as I was getting ready for the show, my nagging headache from all afternoon decided to blossom into a full-blown migraine. Not a convenient thing to have happen less than 2 hours before going on the air. I don't use prescription medications to manage them for personal reasons, and here I sat with a head that was betraying me and just whooping my butt. Do I have time for a headache? Why does a headache show up now? Does my migraine mean that God is angry with me? Is the headache some kind of omen about tonight's program? In reality, the factors that caused the headache were in place days, not hours, before the show. I happen to have been under a lot of stress recently in my personal life. Nothing major, just a lot of little things, like pieces of straw. Each one's not that big of a deal. But all together, they pile up. The headache is a symptom of stress in this case. A way for my body to say, hey, you're overloaded and you better just dump some of this before you have real problems. It's a way to force the issue to get some rest, since functioning with a migraine is not a particularly enjoyable thing to do, as any migraine sufferer will tell you. And once upon a time, I have to confess, as a non-migraine-inflicted person, I regarded migraines as malingering, a symptom of laziness. So it's rather ironic that I now suffer from something that got very little sympathy from me when I was younger. Now, we go through life carrying the baggage we inherited. We have some more baggage we acquire as we grow up and experience life. And then we toss on some stress, too. With the economy like it is, a lot of people are under stress as they struggle to find or keep their jobs, their homes, their way of life. And sometimes we fail. And then we acquire more baggage as well as an extra load of stress. Like a lot of people, I've listened to many a self-improvement, increased awareness, road to financial success sort of guru. I'm a lousy follower, and I get real bored sitting at someone's feet and listening to them spouting words of wisdom as my muscles cramp and demand that I get up and find something else to do. I've worked through many a personal issue, and I would say that I've come a long ways from that angry teenager I once was. It's been a struggle, and sometimes it's tough to look in the mirror and say, okay, now we're going to work on issue X and Y. It's still there in that closet of my mind. Still, quick fixes are notoriously poor fixes. So taking the easy route out was never an option. Tonight's program is about something much more than a quick fix to the things that ail us. But it looks something like a roadmap to me, a GPS system to navigate the what ails us labyrinth. I got this email and I was like, wow, try it on everything. It sounds like Mrs. Dash's psychology. Last night I watched the video and it has me thinking once again. Wouldn't it be nice to really have a GPS system that navigated our own body and mind? One that helps us work through our own issues as we struggle towards that enlightenment, that awareness, that continual struggle in search of the truth. It's a lot tougher to get anywhere when you're carrying 27 pieces of past luggage, plus a dozen of stress of the next week's baggage. Add in the fact that we're all aging and becoming increasingly inflicted with diseases as our bodies insist on degenerating. And can we really afford to not explore something that can help us maintain healthy bodies longer? I'm very excited tonight to have Nick Orner joining us to talk about this video. Try it on everything. So, Nick, would you be so kind as to introduce yourself to the audience and tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's wonderful to be on with you. As you mentioned, my name is Nick Orner, and I recently released a documentary film called Try It On Everything. And Try It On Everything documents a technique called EFT, or Emotional Freedom Technique. I like to describe this technique as sort of a combination between ancient Chinese acupressure and modern psychology, and sort of bringing the best of the West and the East together. And what we're doing in this technique is we are bringing a problem to mind. Let's say you have pain or an emotional issue, and we'll get into all the different details later on, but you're bringing a problem to mind, and while you say this problem, or while you're bringing the energy into your body, you're tapping on meridian points in the body. And then, and you're actually physically tapping with two fingers. And it sounds bizarre, and, you know, the first time I ran across it, it made no sense to me whatsoever. It's not part of our culture, what we understand, but I kept seeing result after result after result, and having personal experiences where I said, something is happening here that I've never experienced before, so I have to look at it more closely. And that is what led me to make this film, to show, you know, you mentioned all the self-help stuff and the gurus and self-improvement. You can go through such a sort of turnstile of programs trying to look for that quick fix or that next remedy. And I had been through that whole thing, and when I found EFT, I just knew I'd hit on something, because I saw results. I saw personal results. I saw results from my friends and family. And it wasn't some big expensive thing. It wasn't some program you got to pay $5,000 for to learn. And, you know, hopefully if you go through it, you'll get all the results. It was something you could apply in a matter of minutes and have a personal experience. And that's what excited me so much about EFT or tapping.
Yeah, you know, and I have to admit, when I was looking at it, I was like, you know, look, this looks like something, it's non-invasive, it can be used in conjunction with traditional medicine, it doesn't look like it could possibly have any known side effects, you're not pounding on anything, you're not poking holes in your skin.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not seeing any potential for a downside. I mean, the worst that you're going to get is some funny looks for tapping.
Yeah, there you go. So if you do it in private, you're fine. A lot of people do it in public, get some funny looks, and that's fine too. I always joke that the biggest danger that I see, the biggest side effect, is if you happen to poke yourself in the eye because you're not careful, you know. And, you know, much more than that, if you poke yourself in the eye, that's about as bad as it can get, because you are really lightly tapping on the various points in the body and just saying things. Now, there can be, you know, some consequences or side effects from bringing up deep emotional issues and talking about them and thinking about them, but that's no different than any other therapy you would do where that might happen.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I guess, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, I figure if you live through it the first time, you should be able to deal with getting rid of it, too.
Yeah, you know,
you should realize it's non-fatal. It didn't kill you the first time. It's not going to the second.
It's true, and you know what? I wish... See, if our logical brains really understood that, then we wouldn't have silly things like a phobia. And this is where EFT is so neat, because what you just said, while it makes a lot of sense, somebody who has a phobia to, you know, to a rat or a snake, and by phobia I mean not just, oh yeah, I don't like snakes. A phobia is full-blown, I see a snake on television and I panic, even though clearly it can't get me. It's of no danger to me. Nothing's going to happen. This is a television. My rational mind knows this, but my body panics. Well, that's a body response in the energy system and the emotional system of the body, which is uncontrolled. The people, you know, can't do anything about. You know, I love sharing the story about how one of the EST was sort of founded or discovered, and it was a previous form done by Roger Callahan. This was a psychologist who had been working for 20, 30 years as a traditional psychologist. He'd have people come into his office, sit down, talk about their problems. You know, the next week they come again, sit down, talk about their problems. And he had one lady by the name of Mary who had a tremendous fear of water. So she would come in and they would talk about water and what the fears were. And every time they would make a little bit of progress. You know, now she could look at a glass of water. Now she could, you know, get closer. And, you know, but he wasn't satisfied in any way with the progress. It was just, I think she had been seeing him for several years and, you know, she was still terrified of water. And what could he do except keep talking about it? That's all his psychotherapy background had taught him to do, just to explore it. So he would, the night before his an appointment with her, he was reading a book about Chinese acupressure at different points, and he had read that the stomach meridian ends at the under the eye, just like that little bone right underneath the eye is where the stomach meridian ends or starts. There's really no difference. And so Mary comes in the next day. They're sitting by a pool, and she's looking at the water, and she's saying, "Oh, I'm feeling really queasy. I don't like this." So just out of the blue, he got the inspiration. He said, "Well, you know, why don't you tap underneath your eye right here? Because you're queasy." So he thought, okay, stomach meridian, queasy. And she tapped underneath the eye a couple times, and really, magically, miraculously, her phobia of water disappeared right then and there. It just dissolved itself to the point where she wanted to jump in the water, and he had to remind her that she couldn't swim. So you have to be aware of that issue. And that sounds so bizarre to us, but what our new science is understanding is that, you know, we have these pathways in the body, and what had happened with Mary, at whatever point she had developed that water phobia, maybe she was 5 years old and saw somebody, you know, splashing around, or someone pushed her in the pool. She had some experience that gave her fear, and that got locked within that meridian, within that pathway in the system. And when she tapped, while focusing, because she was obviously in the experience, she was looking at the water and she was fearful, so while she tapped, while focusing on that, she cleared that right out of her system. And from there, Roger Callahan developed a whole set of protocol for tapping on different points to relieve different things. What Gary Craig, who's the founder of EFT, did, which is the technique we're talking about now, is he simplified it and said, you know what, we're going to go through this set of points, this one routine, and you're going to do that for everything. And it works extremely well, and that's what's exciting about it. You know, you saw that once you learn the technique, you can keep applying it in your life to whatever you need to apply it to.
Yeah, you know, I guess, yeah, you know, my first real exposure to a true phobia was I work in an upscale boarding facility. And one day this woman comes through the front door, and we have a cat that lives in the office. And the cat came jumping up to see who had come in the door, and jumps up on the desk, and the woman screamed and ran out the door. And I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, that's the strangest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
The cat was, you know, 10 feet away from the woman or further, but all she did was see the cat. The next day, she came back, and she explained that she had this cat phobia and wasn't expecting to see a cat, and when the cat jumped up, you know, she just kind of flipped out. But she literally screamed and ran out the front door and ran down the street. I mean, you know, I had no idea what was going on. I've never even seen such a thing before.
Yeah, I know. I mean, phobias are so tough for the people who have them, especially with funky things like that, because people think that there's something wrong with you, that you're crazy, you know, and it's not a logical thing. I mean, you could have talked to her, you know, till the cows came home, telling her that cat is safe and nothing's going to happen, But for whatever reason, she had an experience where she had the fear of cats and couldn't do anything about it. And what's just, like I said, it's really just magical about EFT, about tapping, is that when you tap on these points in your body while you're facing the phobia, It just clears that energy, that energetic charge. And, you know, in the film, we have two phobias that we address directly. Well, during the event, what we did in the film, as you know, is we brought in 10 people from around the country, and they had a variety of problems, and we sort of put EFT to the test. I wanted to show it. You know, you can hear about us talking about it, and it sounds exciting, and there's possibility, but I think until you see it in front of your eyes, that's when you really believe it, or until you experience it, and then you definitely believe it.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to show in the film, you know, look, here are the people getting results. And on the third day, they came for 4 days to work on and tap each day. On the third day, we'd cleared out John's fear of rats. John is a Vietnam veteran with PTSD, chronic back pain, a lot of issues, and one that came up was a tremendous fear of rats, to the point where you could just make a rat noise, like a rat scuttling noise, and he would just panic, you know. When he was in Vietnam, a rat had actually bit him in the leg. You can imagine that that's not a pleasant experience, and ever since then, he was really terrified of rats.
Uh-huh.
So we worked with him for a couple days, and then on the third day, we told everyone we had a surprise, and everyone seemed quite excited until we brought out a rat that we'd gotten from the local pet store. Really quite a cute little black rat, and friendly, would call around you, not dangerous in any way.
Mm-hmm.
John, because he had cleared that, you know, if we had done that on the first day, John would have just freaked. He would have ran out of the room. And this is a tough Vietnam veteran, but that would just terrify him. But on that day, John was comfortable with it, and he looked at it, and he did some more tapping, because it did bring up a little anxiety. And the next day, he actually held the rat in his hand. So he went from, you know, can you just imagine, from a total panic just thinking or hearing about a rat to actually holding a live one in his hand. So that was really exciting for him. And then we did the same thing with a snake. We brought in a snake because we knew that was going to bring up, you know, the blood pressure of a couple people in the room. And it was a friendly snake, not poisonous, and, you know, not a danger to anybody. But several people really panicked. And one lady in particular, Jackie from Canada, really had a hard time with it. We tapped for, it must have been about 20 minutes. And 20 minutes later, she was touching the snake. About 10 minutes after that, she was holding it. And you see in the film that she goes from being terrified to actually holding the snake.
Uh-huh.
So that's exciting, and it's exciting to be able to show people that this is for real, that you can actually overcome these challenges that we face in our lives.
Yeah, you know, I think about it. I suffer from vertigo, and it doesn't matter if I'm looking down or up. I can't look up a flagpole because I get vertigo. I can't tell what's up and down anymore. It's just, you know, so I have a fear of falling because of the vertigo.
Sure.
And I used to be a tour guide along cliff edges. Okay, you know, most people never realize that, because I have lots of little tricks for coping so that I don't ever trigger that vertigo. And people even I worked with didn't realize that I had that issue until I was put in a situation where I had to look up and down, and I ended up asking. A group of tour guides were actually looking for some old trail markers, and I ended up going down a very sheer cliff. And you have to look up and down. You know, there's just no way around it. And then climbing back out again, same thing. You have to look up and down. And that's when they found out that, you know, I don't know if it qualifies as a phobia, because even though I'll get panic attacks, I know they're only going to last so long, and I do it anyhow.
Yeah,
you know,
it is a phobia. There's mild phobias and there's more severe phobias and there's really intense ones. But, well, I'd love to see at some point, you know, try using the tapping on the vertigo. I would think you'd get some pretty good results, and you can report back to the listeners and let them know.
I've never, you know, pursued to see if there's a medical reason why, when I tip my head like that
sure.
or have that visual happen, that why I get the vertigo. But, you know, I know that it happens, and therefore, you know, if I put a flag up a pole, I have to step back 2 steps to look up it.
Yeah.
You know, and that sort of thing. Same thing when I look down, you know. Don't like to get up on roofs, and I don't like to stand on the edge of ships and whatnot, because it's just, you know, I don't like it.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people have had good results with fear of heights and tapping, so give it a shot.
Yeah, I'll have to do that. So, you know, the tapping thing there again, you know, I was really excited when I first got the email. Although the triad on everything first, I'm looking at it and I'm like, you know, that sounds like some sort of new seasoning.
I know, it's like the new butter spread.
Yeah. Try it on everything, yeah.
Exactly.
But it really does, it seems to work on such a broad spectrum of issues.
Yeah, and people have a hard time understanding that. You know, it's like, how could it be that you do the same exact thing for a phobia as you do for pain, as you do for anxiety, that you do for procrastination, that you do for weight loss? And the idea is, we're actually working with the same body, and the premise is that the body has an energetic system. And when we have an emotional or physical trauma take place, when we have, another person in the movie that we follow is Renee, whose wife died in a car accident. He witnessed her, he was in the car accident, he was driving the car, so he had a lot of trauma surrounding that. And what we're saying is happening when that happens is that there's an energetic disturbance in the body, that if you see the body as an energy field, and we know that, the body has an energy field. I mean, you think of if someone's in a hospital and there's a heart monitor, well, that's beeping, that's an electrical impulse that they're, that they're monitoring. And then when someone, flatlines, what do? Well, you use electricity to get them going again. So we know the body has electricity running through it. And when there's a trauma and disturbance in the field, that sort of throws it off. And what we're doing with EFT and the tapping is just bringing that back in balance. The same way acupuncture brings it back in balance, moves the energy with the needles, we're doing it without the needles. So that the same concept applies to no matter what's going on. It's all an energetic disturbance in the field that we're trying to quiet down.
Like in my case, as I mentioned earlier, I decided to apparently endure a migraine this afternoon. Have you used it in things like that, dealing with migraines? Because mine are usually either induced by allergies or by stress.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And, in your monologue you said it best, and you knew that it was related to stress. Most of our physical stuff is related to stress at some level. Some is purely stress and very clear. Others is more organic conditions, but it definitely plays a huge component. All right, do you have pain in your head right now?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
and how strong is the pain?
Oh, well, on the migraine scale, being completely debilitated where I can't even talk, that's a 10. I'm running about a 5 or 6.
Okay, so you're in a significant amount of pain.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, let's have some fun. I can never guarantee anything, and if we fall flat, then no one will buy the movie. But you're in pain, so I'm willing to take the risk, because that's work so much. So let's try a couple rounds working together so people can get an idea of what it looks like.
Okay.
And, I'll have to explain the points. If you go to our website, triedofneverything.com, you'll see on the resources section that there's a diagram there on how to tap, so you can see the points if you want to jump on and look at the points. That's triedofneverything.com. So the way we're going to start is we're going to bring the energy forward. So we're going to, it's already there. It's pretty strong, but we're going to get a little more clear on it. And you're going to start by tapping the side of your hand. So with one hand, with sort of 4 fingers on one hand, you're going to tap the karate chop point on the side of your hand. It's on the outside of the hand, the opposite from the thumb, by your pinky. That really kind of sort of meaty, fleshy part of your hand.
Okay.
So you're going to start just tapping away on that point, and you're going to say, you're just going to repeat after me. We're going to do what's called the final phrase, and that's going to happen 3 times. And how would you describe the migraine? So even though my head really hurts, would you say your head really hurts? Would you say you have a migraine? Or what language would you bring to it?
I would just say I have a migraine.
Okay. So you're going to tap the side of your hand, and you're going to say, even though I have a migraine.
Even though I have a migraine.
I choose to relax now.
I choose to relax now.
Repeat that same phrase while you keep tapping, even though I have a migraine.
Even though I have a migraine.
I choose to relax now.
I choose to relax now.
And one more time. Even though I have a migraine.
Even though I have a migraine.
I choose to let it go.
I choose to let it go.
Okay, now we're going to move through the various tapping points in the body and say a reminder phrase every time to kind of bring it to the surface again. And so, for example, we would just say, this migraine every time we tap. The first point is on the inside of the eyebrow. So if you feel where your eyebrow is and towards your nose, sort of right where the hair ends.
Uh-huh.
And that's the inside of the eye point. So you're going to tap on that 5 to 7 times with 2 fingers. Just gently tap, sort of as if you're, you know, making a noise on the table. And you're just going to say, this migraine.
This migraine.
The next point is on the side of the eye. So you're going to move just to the side of the eye, not at the temple, further in, closer to the eye temple, sort of right where the bone is on the eye, on the side
okay.
of the eye. And you can do one side, or you can do the other, or you can do both sides with both hands. It doesn't really matter. The next point is underneath the eye, again, right on the bone, not on the eye itself, right when you hit the bone. So the end of the eye point, and then say, this migraine.
This migraine.
And then you're going to go under the nose. Keep tapping 5 to 7 times and say, this migraine.
This migraine.
The next point is underneath the mouth, just sort of in that crease between the lips and the chin.
Okay.
This migraine. The next
this
point
migraine.
Is the collarbone, and I like to do the collarbone with both hands to make sure you get it. You kind of hit the bone, you know, you got the little bony part in the collarbone, move down a little bit from that. You can use your whole hands on both sides and say, this migraine.
This migraine.
And there's 2 points left. The next one is underneath the arm, about 3 inches below the armpit. And say,
okay.
This migraine.
This migraine.
And then the last point is at the top of the head. Just in the center of the head, you can tap around in a little circle with 4 fingers and repeat, this migraine.
This migraine.
Now you take a deep breath and you let it go. And now that was slow because I was explaining it, but that's what's called one round. You know, usually we move through it much faster and tune in. So tune in to the headache and see if it shifted in any way. Right now we're looking for movement.
It did. It definitely, I mean, it's not gone. I mean, don't get me wrong. But it's down a notch. You know, it's much more tolerable. You know, like I said, you know, migraine's not the most convenient thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would you say on the 0 to 10 scale to get clear on it? What is it?
You're probably the 6 or 7 before. No, I'm about a 5.
Okay, good. Well, that's great to see movement on just one round. And, you know, I say to people, even if that's all you ever do, never do a couple more rounds, you just knock 2 points off on your pain level, you know? That's pretty significant. Now, let's do a couple more rounds to see if we can get it to move even more significantly for you. Is there, you mentioned that there's a lot of stress going on in your life. Is there a particular stressor, and you don't have to share it on the air, you know, we don't need to air everybody's dirty laundry, but is there a particular stressor that you can bring to mind that, you know, is really bothering you?
Yeah.
Okay, and can you give that a name, like, you know, this event or this person or, you know?
Well, yeah, we can just call it the day.
The day, okay.
The
okay.
day.
So, and how do you feel about the day? Are you upset about it, angry?
I would say there's a bit of resentment is how I'd describe it. You know, resentment, you know, why me, you know?
Okay. All right, so what we're trying to do now is clear out some of the stress, and we're going to look at it 2 ways. A, we're going to see what does it do for your resentment, because it's great. What would you say on a 0 to 10 scale the resentment is?
That's probably about an 8.
Okay, so it's high. Okay, so we're going to tune into that resentment and see it as an 8 and then check back in. And then sort of on the side, we're going to see, does that do anything to the migraine? You know,
okay.
See if there's that stress connection. So, again, we start by tapping on the side of the hand, and we're going to say,
even though I feel resentful about that day,
I choose to release it now.
I choose to release it now.
Even though I feel resentful about that day, I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Even though I feel resentful about that day,
even though I feel resentful about that day,
I choose to let it all go right now. Okay, so we're going to go to the eyebrow point and just say resentful about that day.
Resentful about that day.
While you keep tapping on the points. And for people listening, pick, you know, I should have said this earlier, pick your own, you know, tap along. Pick your own emotion or whatever it is, fill in the blanks, and tap along with us. So side of the eye, resentful about that day.
Resentful about that day.
Under the eye, resentful about that day.
Resentful about that day.
Under the nose, resentful about that day.
Resentful about that day.
Tapping under the mouth, resentful about that day.
resentful about that day.
Collarbone, all this resentment.
All this resentment.
Under the arm, releasing all this resentment.
Releasing all this resentment.
Top of the head, releasing all this resentment.
Releasing all this resentment.
We're going to do one more round to just keep it moving, so go back to the eyebrow point and just say releasing all this resentment.
Releasing all this resentment.
Out of the eye and this migraine pain.
And this migraine pain.
Under the eye, releasing all this stress.
Releasing all this stress.
Under the nose, releasing all the stress about that day.
Releasing all the stress about that day.
Under the mouth, I choose to let it all go.
I choose to let it all go.
Collarbone, releasing all of this resentment.
Releasing all of this resentment.
Under the arm, releasing all this resentment.
Releasing all this resentment.
Top of the head, I fully let go of that day.
I slowly let go of that day.
Great. Take a deep breath. And let it go. And let's start by thinking about that day first and the resentment you feel about it and see if anything has shifted for you.
It's shifted a great deal. I mean, it's down to, you know, like a two. I don't care.
Okay. Now, if somebody's just listening and they didn't tap along and have their own experience, they'll probably think I'm paying you to say that because it sounds so bizarre that you went from an 8 to a 2. So try to really tune in and see if you could share with the listeners how it has changed or why do you think it's changed.
You know, I can't say why it's changed. I mean, you know, obviously I just went through the tapping routine. And like I said, for me, it wasn't a big thing. It was a bunch of little pieces of straw.
Yeah.
You know, and it really, it's sort of like let the wind blow and let straws blow away. You know, just, yeah, because, you know, like I said, it just, I really don't care. I can see the pettiness of it because it was really all petty stuff.
Well, what's funny is that when it happens, you usually, and the primary reason why we take a measurement before and after is if I had taken that measurement, sometimes I'll talk to people, don't take the measurement, and they'll say, you know, it really was never a big deal. I wasn't that upset about it. You know, because they disconnect so much from that emotional charge. You know, the tapping just kind of balances out that charge, but they forget that they were even feeling that way, you know? It's like, no, how could I feel that way? That's not how I feel at all. I feel different. Because you're coming from, you know, right now you spoke from a different perspective, which said it was petty and I'm letting it go. And, you know, it's a very different language than just a few minutes ago when it was clear that you were feeling quite resentful about it.
Yeah, just like I said, you know, it was no one thing, no big thing. It was just, like I said, a lot of little pieces of straw. And, you know, I think, you know, really thinking about it after I watched the video, it was like, you know, most of us are drowning in pieces of straw, literally.
Absolutely.
That's what's getting it. That's what's killing us. It's no big thing. It's the million little grains of sand, the million little pieces of oats or whatever.
Yep.
You know, it's all little things, but it's drowning us.
Yeah, I had read that somewhere in a study where, I forget all the details of it, but the basic premise was that it wasn't the big dramatic events in life that shaped us most or stressed us most. But actually, we had ways to cope really well with those things. It was the little stuff that just kept pounding us, especially in such a modern, fast-paced world, that just, you know, like you said, drowns people. It was just, they just don't feel they can cope because they have so many things that are irritating and annoying and stressful, and people are just walking around just freaked out.
Yeah, you know, and I've seen, I live in New Orleans, and over the last 4 years after Katrina, you really saw what stress did to people. I mean, you know, people were stressed in ways they were not prepared to be stressed.
Sure.
Even though they may not have been here during the storm itself, coming back after the storm,
sure,
the lines, the little things, you know, it was really kind of amazing to watch how people reacted, and they're still reacting.
How's the migraine? Tune into that.
The migraine's dropped down probably to like a 3 or 4.
Okay. So isn't that interesting that when we worked on the resentment totally separate, the energy of the migraine moved down even more. So from a, where did the migraine start? It was like
it started like a 6 or 7.
Okay. Now it's at a 3 or 4. So
Good. Yeah, 3 or 4 is, you know, I'm barely going to notice it, actually. I can actually set that aside and deal with that. Yeah.
Well, and in most EFT sessions, you know, we did two rounds. We spent a few minutes, so, you know, we can continue on. And I know that in, you know, two or three more rounds, you can bring it down to a zero and you know, just clear it out altogether.
Yeah, and it's really easy for me to see it, you know, having done a couple of rounds like this.
Yeah.
Now, how does it work, like, with issues that are chronic pain? You know, I saw it in the video with a guy that had the chronic back, well, actually, two people with chronic back pain.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people who have diseases that do leave them with incredible chronic pain.
Yeah.
You know, how does it, you know, just repeat these rounds?
Yeah.
How, what kind of success rate do you have?
I mean, it's so high. It's incredible. In the film, just to give you sort of a time frame, Jody, who came in with fibromyalgia, with the pain, you know, throughout your whole body and all the muscles of the body, she's been diagnosed with fibromyalgia about 15 years earlier. She had a lot of pain in her knees. In the first session that we filmed for the whole event, because we just took turns, you know, with people going up in front of the group, it was not maybe 15 or 20 minutes before her knee pain completely disappeared. So it was just really fast. Now, other people take longer if they have more deeper issues and more stuff going on. John, who had had chronic back pain for 30 years since he had an accident in Vietnam, had several unsuccessful surgeries, took painkillers, you know, the whole thing. He woke up on the second morning of being there with no back pain. And he hadn't had that happen in 30 years where he had no back pain. He had been constantly in pain for 30 years. So, you know, you hear these things and you say, this can't be for real. But that's why we documented it. That's why we made a film, a documentary film, so you can see the guy walk in with pain and walk out without it, you know?
Yeah, because, you know, when you read about it and you read the success rate, you know, I have to admit, I was a little bit skeptical.
Of course.
To imagine something that literally worked on everything was, you know, pretty much impossible as far as I could see.
Yeah, it works on everything. Now, people don't get results on everything. You know, it was really important for us to be fair and balanced in the movie and show both sides. You know, we had Dennis who came to quit smoking, and I was really excited because I'd seen it help people quit smoking. I knew it reduced cravings. I knew how great it was. And so I'm thinking, good, this will be great for the film. We show Dennis, he no longer smokes. You know, there's millions of smokers out there who want to quit. What a great thing for them. And Dennis actually didn't smoke for a day when he was tapping, and he was the first time he hadn't smoked for a full day in quite a while. He was happy with that. And then the second day he decided, you know, I actually enjoy smoking and I want to keep smoking and everyone keeps telling me to quit and that's annoying me and I just want to be a smoker and enjoy it. So, you know, everyone's got free will and their choice and I couldn't force them to do anything. And so we show in the film that he made a choice to quit. And he still says to this day, he says, I know I don't tap because I know it works and I want to keep smoking. So he's got other things going on that are preventing him from quitting, or he's just not choosing to. Some people love to smoke, and you know, that's their personal decision.
And you know, is it used for other addictions?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, addictions are a complex thing. You know, there's a lot of elements to addiction, but it's a great support tool. People have used it, you know, for cravings with a lot of success. With addiction, you really have to, with anything really, you have to get to the underlying cause. You have to figure out what's going on emotionally, because that's what an addiction is. There's certainly a physical component that needs to be dealt with, but there's a huge emotional component that needs to be addressed.
Okay. Because I was curious, you know, having been around a day or two, like myself, like most other people, we've known people who are addicted to one thing or another.
Sure.
And, you know, from housewives that you kind of, you're surprised when you find out, to businessmen and to derelicts on the street, it doesn't, the addiction really doesn't care.
No, it just certainly does not. Yeah.
And, you know, and you've seen some people succeed, and you've seen other people just spiral further and further into the hellhole of addiction.
Yeah.
And I guess there's no other way to put it, you know.
Yeah, no, there is. I mean, it is. It's definitely a very tough place to be. I hope that the EFT gets out there as a tool to add on to what the program's already doing, because I know it's going to increase the success rate at the very least. You know, including it in treatment centers is just guaranteed to increase the success rate. Not going to help everybody 100% of the time, clearly, but it's a powerful tool that works.
Now, has it been used, like, in places that are dealing with at-risk teenagers? I was thinking about that in particular when I was watching the video, that this might be something much more productive when you've got this teenager that's really, you know, it's on the brink,
yeah.
You know, and this is sort of a last-ditch effort to save them before they go over the edge. You know, I can see potential for this to be used.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have a section in the video where we talk about working with children, because just like you said, if you get it, both, you know, the childhood years are really the formative years that can affect us dramatically. So if you get it then, both from when you have a, you know, a second grader who comes home from school and he's upset, someone made fun of him, they can tap on the issue right then to clear out the energy of it, to an at-risk teen who's, like you said, just right on the brink and having all this emotional stuff going on that they can't seem to handle or get a hold of, using EFT to bring them to a place of peace and to calm them down could just dramatically change the direction of their lives.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess I thought about teenagers in particular because I've seen so many, because all too often that's when they finally are able to, I guess, you know, say that they need help. The problems have become known, you know, and they may have been dealing with abuse of all kinds. They may be dealing with addiction on their own part, as well as self-destructive behavior and so forth and so on. And, you know, if you don't help them then, they're going to become, you know, the criminals and whatnot, you know, as they reach adulthood.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. Now, I did get a question in text, and it was about results for treatment for people that hurt everywhere, inside and out, the worst imaginable pain.
Now, are they talking about physical pain?
Yeah, physical pain. I'm not sure what illness this was.
It might be fibromyalgia. I don't know if it is specifically in this case. Fibromyalgia is very similar to that in that the muscles sort of contract and they feel pain everywhere. Jody, who was featured in the film, she had fibromyalgia. She couldn't sleep through the night. She would wake up 20 times. She lived in a one-story house because she couldn't climb up the stairs and her knees hurt so much, and after going through the tapping, she's pain-free. I mean, she's no longer, according to her, she doesn't have fibromyalgia because she doesn't feel any pain. She hasn't gone back to the doctors because she says, what's the point? I don't need them to help me with anything. You know, they couldn't help me before. I've helped myself. And she's actually just moved into a two-story house because she can walk up the stairs, which goes to show you, you know, the reality of it for her. It can definitely help. Now, if they're talking about, you know, just in case they're talking about emotional pain inside and out, somebody who's really overwhelmed with pain, I would suggest to, you know, get the film, learn the process, read up on it, and then just start, you know, the point you made before about the little things is so important. Just don't worry about the huge event in your life. You can look at that and maybe work on that with somebody who's experienced. But try it on the little things. Try it on the stress at work. Try it in the anger towards mom and dad. Try it in the anger towards your siblings. Try it in the stress from your kids. The little things that are just getting to you. The stress, if you're in New Orleans, the stress around Katrina and everything that's happened. There's a lot of trauma there, clearly. And just look to one by one clear out these events. And it's going to make a difference, you know. You get those straws out of there, and you're going to feel better, guaranteed.
Okay, I got some more clarification on it. And in this particular person's case, they haven't found a source for the pain. She's been through numerous tests, and they haven't, you know, they've ruled out one thing after another, from fibromyalgia to was it MS and several other diseases.
Yeah, these are all the sort of mystery diseases that are popping up more and more in our modern world, I think for a variety of factors, one being the stress. So I would really recommend, now, you saw how we did a couple rounds, and learn how to do it for yourself so you can sit down and take the time. It's going to take, you know, it's not a magic pill. You know, where society is used to popping a pill and sitting there. letting the pill do its work, if it doesn't work at all, you know, if it doesn't do damage or not take care of the problem.
Or cause more problems. In my case, I happen to have a number of drug allergies.
Yeah.
And every time I take something, I feel like I'm playing Russian roulette.
Yeah, yeah.
I never know. It
never
might have worked last time, and this time it's going to try and kill me.
Yeah. So you've got to put in a little effort yourself. But it's not much. It's tapping some fingers and bringing some stuff to mind and clearing it out. But you also have to make the decision for yourself that you've had enough, that you're not willing to live anymore with the emotional pain and the stress. I think that's one of the other challenges in modern society, that we somehow feel that, you know, it's okay to be angry, it's okay to be miserable, it's okay to be stressed, and we sort of commiserate, you know. It's really easy to complain to other people, oh, this is going on and that, and we all get talking about all our problems.
You know, I listen to some people, I swear that stress and gloom and doom are all badges of honor to them.
I know. Well, they are. That's a societal thing, like it's a badge of honor. And, you know, for those listening, we all do it, so we're all guilty of it, but it has to stop. We've got to stop.
Yeah, the pity parties and feeling like we deserve, you know, I'm not perfect, therefore I deserve stress and misery and agony and woe is me.
Yeah, exactly. That's just got to stop. There's just a better way to live. Who wants it? We can feel better. And I'm telling you that it is possible to feel good all the time, to actually have a tool that you can... I'm not saying that I don't have stresses that come up in life and things that challenges, but at least I know I have a tool that I can turn to at the very least bring down the pain or the emotional charge to a place where it's more manageable and just more emotionally balanced and have more joy in my life.
So who couldn't deal with a little bit more joy in their life?
I know, exactly.
You know, usually everything wants to bring more misery into your life.
It does.
Yeah.
I think it's a cultural thing. You know, if you're too happy, people seem to begrudge you for it. And we've all had instances when we were really happy and somebody else said, well, I'm miserable. And you say, oh, boy, I better not how happy I am because they're not going to like me or whatever it is. But you know what? Let them not like you. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to be joyful. And anyone who doesn't, you know, around you who doesn't want to feel that way, let them go in their own way, you know.
Yeah, and you know, I think actually, if you really look at the roots culturally, it goes back to puritanical times when, you know, joy and joyfulness were bad.
Yeah.
And we're still clinging to those old ideas, which obviously didn't work, but we're still clinging to them like it's our lifeline.
That we are. And to me, you know, life is supposed to feel good. It's not supposed to be some, you know...
The misery isn't going to buy you a ticket to heaven.
Yeah, you know, look, I don't have all the answers. I don't think it is. But the flip side, too, is that when you're joyful, you know, if we want to talk, if someone's very religious or you have those beliefs, well, when you're joyful, you get to spread joy and hope and faith and love. And what's more important than that? You know, you really can't help this world from a place of misery. You're not doing it any good. So move to that other place where you are doing good. I mean, that's how you create a heaven on earth, is by bringing joy and faith and hope and love to your life.
And if you want to take it down to the Ebenezer Scrooge level, happy people are productive people.
Absolutely.
And they're also much less expensive to maintain. They require less medicine, less food, less everything. So...
You know, I love the mention of Ebenezer Scrooge, because with EFT, that's sort of what we're doing a bit. We're going back in the past and looking at the event from a different perspective and clearing out an emotion behind it. And sometimes you can even do EFT with the future, with future anxieties or just changing the track that you're on to create a different future for yourself.
Yeah, you know, all of us want peace and prosperity in our future life. I've never heard anyone say, look, I'm hoping for a life of misery, poverty, what was tossing a war or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that just doesn't happen. So, yeah, to try and program yourself for better things, that is probably definitely much more along the lines of what we would like.
Absolutely. And the fact that it's within your own control. And that's another societal thing that we that we've just lost touch with, that we believe that we have to go to a doctor or some person of authority and get something that's going to fix us. It's just not how it works. It's just it's not how we are designed. It is within us to sort of pick ourselves up and get up off the floor and make that life change. Nobody else is going to. You can get support. You can get support from, you know, people like us talking about it and other resources. There's so much incredible stuff on the internet right now that you can get support from people. But at the end of the day, you have to make that choice yourself to say, look, I want to take my power back. I want to feel better. I've had enough. You know, pain is the greatest motivator. I'm tired of feeling this way. So I'm going to do something positive about it. I'm going to do something different than what I did yesterday, where I just moped around and was miserable and complained. I'm going to make a different choice.
And really, pain is our first teacher.
It is.
As a very small child, we reach out and touch something hot, it burns our fingers, it hurts, we don't do that again.
Yeah.
You know, you fall down when you're climbing up the bookcase, you don't climb the bookcase.
Yeah. And we've reached such a pain threshold, though, that people don't even, I don't know if people even realize that, when, you know, they have all these.
You know, I know a lot of people who think, okay, I have a pain, I go to the doctor, I get a pill, and then it's all gone. It's all better.
Yeah.
And if this isn't working right in my life, I mean, I found out there's a pill to cure shyness, too.
I know, I heard about that. That's bizarre.
And I'm thinking, what would they have done with me? Because as a child, I was painfully shy.
That's bizarre.
And the thought of somebody coming along with a pill and fixing me as a child, I'm like, oh, that would have been a good thing.
Yeah, you know,
my own battle with teachers when my kids were young and they wanted them medicated for ADHD.
Sure, absolutely.
And I'm like, they're not that hard to manage at home. I have to pay attention. You have to be smarter than the kid.
Yeah, and not put them in a room with fluorescent lights for hours at a time with nothing interesting going on, you know. We
and expect them to sit there and do the same thing over 27 times and not question you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, the pill thing, obviously, I'm a little suspicious of how often it's actually. And don't get me wrong. I mean, pills, you know, the pharmaceutical industry has come up with many, many cures for or treatments for things that, you know, we desperately needed, you know, for people. But at the same time, a pill for shyness?
Yeah.
You know, I'm sad, so I have a pill. I'm happy, so they got another pill for that. I can't sleep, they give me a pill for that. I can't get up in the morning, so they give me another pill for that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, it is quite bizarre, the idea of taking 10 different pills and that chemicals are somehow going to handle all our issues. I don't know. I think we've been duped a little bit to believe that's the case. And there is, see, the neat thing about it is that when you overcome something by yourself, when you just had the experience of bringing down your stress and, you know, migrating, it was self-empowering. I'm sure there's a little part of you. We didn't do it for long, but that said, hey, great, I can handle this next time. I've got a resource.
Well, hold that thought right there, because it's time for us to go on a break.
Great.
Folks, do stay tuned to the Dawn of Shades. We'll be right back with our guest, Nick Ortner. Welcome back to the Dawn of Shades. I'm your host, Gia Scott, and tonight we are talking with Nicholas Ortner, an EFT practitioner and the maker of the film Try It On Everything. Before we get back on our topic, I'd like to remind everyone to try and attend the ExoPolitics Conference in the Washington, D.C. area this spring. You can find out all about who, what, and where with any search engine. If you would like to join in on the conversation tonight with Nick Ortner, you may do so in several ways. You can email me at gscott@gmail.com with your question, and I'll read it on the air. You can text it to me from the virtual auditorium in Pal Talk, or you can raise your hand in the virtual auditorium and actually come to the mic and ask your question. If you're listening after the fact via podcast, you can email me with your question or comment, and I'll try and get it answered for you somehow. So, Nick, where were we?
Oh, so much to talk about.
So many, many things. The first 2 hours sounds like a long, long time until you get involved in the conversation.
Absolutely. Well, people have so many different challenges and issues that they're working through that there's a lot to address.
Yeah, and some of the virtual auditorium people were asking about things like chronic backache, chronic neckache. Do you change where you tap according to what you're tapping about, or is it pretty much use the same set of tapping exercises no matter which problem you're addressing?
Yeah, that's what's neat about it. You do the same thing no matter what problem you're doing. So it's easy to remember and easy to apply from issue to issue. So that's one of the things that I love about it. You know, with chronic pain, I've seen it work so many times. I'm amazed every time. I mean, every couple of days I'll run across somebody in pain and take them through it, and boom, the pain is gone, and it's still work. It's such a different paradigm from what we're used to that it shocks me. And I'm always asking, wait, are you sure it's gone? You're not just telling me that to make me feel good, you know? And the answer again and again is, yeah, it's gone. I don't understand how, but it's gone. You know, we show several examples of it in the film, and we go into detail in the film on how to use it for pain, and we have some follow-up calls. You know, one thing that I think is important to mention, and, you know, not to pitch the film too much, but we do have a 100% money-back guarantee on the film itself, which is really, you know, I've never been to a movie that if you don't like it, you get your money back when you walk out. That would be nice.
No, that's a little bit different.
I've seen some really bad movies, and I would have liked to have my money back. But it was important for me that people get results and it works for them. So that's why we sort of offer that unconditionally, you know. Pick it up, watch it, use it, you know, give it a shot. Got to get up off the couch and do it yourself. Well, you actually don't have to get up off the couch. You can do it when you're on the couch, but you've got to do it. And if it doesn't work, just send the movie back and get your money back.
Now, I have to admit, I'll put in a plug for you here, too. I don't watch movies and I don't watch television. I'm not much for sitting and watching anything. Barring the fact that I got several phone calls during the time I was trying to watch the video, I would have sat and watched it straight through. I have, like, zero attention span for watching any visual media. Okay,
yeah.
I have a hard time with it.
Yeah.
And people find it very, very strange that I watch no TV. I own one. It's currently sitting on a box waiting to be moved to the closet. It was turned on last year, you know?
Yeah.
I don't watch TV, and it's just not my thing. I have a hard time paying attention. It moves too slow, yada, yada, yada. So I don't watch TV at all. So for any visual thing to hold my attention, it's got to have something to say.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't have something to say, I really have better things to do, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I was impressed with it.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, people have really enjoyed it. You know, if you go to the website, tryitoneverything.com, you can see, all the testimonials down the left side of the page. You can also read the reviews on Amazon. Just go to Amazon and type in Try It On Everything, and you'll see that the DVD and the companion book are there. And you can see, I think we have 45-star reviews. So, people really enjoy it, and they're getting results. That's what matters to me. I mean, I wanted to make something where it was an enjoyable experience. You could watch it with friends and family and be moved emotionally while you watched it and also learn something that could change your life. And I think fortunately we accomplished that goal.
Well, I did find it amazing that you used the same process to address such a broad spectrum. So that kind of brings me to another question. You know, you've kind of made a believer out of me, especially since my headache is now down to like a one. It's more pressure than it is pain.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, because even if I said this one was a coincidence, it's a pretty coincidental one. So has anyone tried it on animals? I work with animals during the day. I've got a couple of dogs lounging around here as we speak, a couple of cats hiding somewhere. Sometimes I'm working with a rescue animal with, who knows what kind of issues going on. have you tried it on them? Does it work?
Yeah, they have. People have had a lot of success. I can't speak personally about it because I haven't tried it with animals. But what I do know people are doing is two things. One is they're actually tapping on the animals, and they're just trying to sort of estimate where the points are, you know, since it's obviously not the same body structure, but tapping around the eyes and under the mouth and at various other acupuncture points, acupressure points, and they've gotten results that way. The other way that people work, and this is where it's sort of getting more into, like, the woo-woo quantum physics, you know, we're all an energetic body part, is when people tap surrogately for their animal. So I could sit next to a cat and maybe put my hand on the cat or set an intention that I'm actually tapping for the cat. And people have gotten some tremendous results that way. You know, there's a lot of case studies that, you know, and these are all anecdotal evidence, and, you know, but people writing in saying, you know, I don't know how, but my really anxious dog is now calm and relaxed and the first time in his life. So people have had a lot of success. You know, we have a lot of websites that we offer out with different content. One that I might recommend for people interested in that is called EFTRevealed.com. So it's the letter EFT, and then the word revealed.com. And those are, you'll see 50 or 60 free interviews on that site with practitioners on specific topics. So, you know, we're going broad here and then talking about different little specifics. This will be a whole interview on back pain or a whole interview on working with animals so you can get more clear on how to do it specifically for that topic.
That would be interesting to me because the fact that I do work with animals, and I know a lot of my friends work in animal rescue and so forth and so on. So it's something we spend a lot of time talking about.
Yeah.
And so I was curious, you know, if it had been used and how and what was the success rate and whether veterinarians had tried it. And, you know, you do have science backing up what you're doing with the tapping with humans. So, you know, whether or not there was science backing it up in with the animals as well. Because like massage therapy, that they discovered works very well on animals.
Yeah.
So a lot of things do work back and forth.
Yeah, and I know that a lot of vets are starting to do, well, not a lot, but there are vets who do acupuncture on pets. So, you know,
yeah.
The same principles would apply.
Yeah, I actually had a friend who had acupuncture done on a horse that she had.
Yeah.
And she traveled a long way to get a veterinarian that practiced acupuncture on horses.
Sure.
And same thing with chiropractor on horses.
Yep.
She had a horse with a back problem, obviously. So she went way out of her way to find someone that could treat the horse.
Yeah.
Because veterinary scientists said, oh, throw it with your hands, that's it.
Yeah, so if somebody wants to work with a pet, I'd recommend, you know, watch the film first, get familiar with it for yourself, and then go to that website, EFT Revealed, and get the free audio and listen to that, so now you can go learn how to apply it specifically to pets.
Yeah, that's an interesting application that I guess I haven't even thought about prior to the show tonight, because
we covered 10 people in the film, and I don't know if it would have worked to bring a dog in, you know.
Maybe the next one you have to do one on EFT for pets.
There you go. Hey, that'd be a fun film to make, you know. You'd make it like a little mini zoo when you have all these animals coming in.
Well, I have to admit, one thing that we use at work is a heartbeat audio track, okay, which it was originally developed for sick human babies. The heartbeat's very soothing to them.
Yeah.
And I listen to nursery rhymes all day long.
Wow.
Maybe that's one of the sources of stress, you know. Row your boat and rock-a-bye baby and everything.
Yep.
But the songs were developed for humans. But it's the heartbeat and the music, and it sounds silly. I was so skeptical at first. I was like, oh, yeah, right. Just play nursery rhymes all day long.
Yep.
The difference is dogs frequently react to things like fireworks and thunderstorms with diarrhea. When you would open the door in the morning after a thunderstorm, the aroma would practically knock you back.
Mm.
And the first day that had been playing and the thunderstorm, because you kind of came to work after a thunderstorm kind of cringing because you knew.
Sure.
You just knew.
Yeah. Yep.
You open the door and nothing.
Wow.
And so, you know, I know that something that sounds stupid can have amazing results if you use it right.
Hey, whatever works. You know, I mean, I'll do this funny tapping. If they told me that I had to spin around in circles and dance and that would make me feel better, I would do it.
Yeah, you know, and the same thing. I can remember, you know, when my daughter was first diagnosed with diabetes and she was so sick, and, you know, then the discussion about stem cell research came up, and it's morality versus immorality. And I said, look, when you're the parent of a sick child, morality doesn't even enter in the equation. You know, and they look at me kind of strange, and I said, I'm not kidding. When your child is sick and somebody tells you, you can have the cure if you kill the president of the country, you know, face it, you are going to hunt that president down. You know, nothing is immoral when it comes to your child. You know, and that's just the way it is. And, you know, because you will do anything you can to make them well again. And, you know, people just didn't really get how far you'll go. And I never got it until, you know, first my daughter was diagnosed with diabetes, and then I lost my son when he was 10. So, you know, it was, it gave me a different perspective on how you'll react to your children being threatened or their deaths.
Sure.
Because it does change you. It is a much different sort of thing than anything else in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah, you know, things, I mean, maybe I'm more open to trying things that are a little bit different. You know, because I've seen that they have worked in the past.
Yeah, and we talked about the pain threshold before, that when you feel enough pain, you'll try something else because you want relief from that pain.
Yeah, and sometimes you find accidentally that this gives me relief, and therefore, okay, I'll try it again, or I'll try something similar to that again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and because pain is, it's our first motivation in life.
Yeah.
Hunger is a kind of pain that teaches you to how to suck, you know, right from the birth, you know. So, yeah. And we do have this definite instinctive aversion to pain.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a good thing. Otherwise, we'd all end up with burnt hands and,
you
know,
yeah. Yeah.
And all that stuff. But we do seem to endure a certain amount of emotional pain, which is surprising, you know.
Well, yeah, and sometimes we seem to even create that.
Yeah.
You know, I watch friends creating their own situations repeatedly.
Sure.
And you're like, I have to admit, in the past, I've done some things repeatedly, and you're like, when you realize the pattern that you're in, you're like, why am I doing this?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not achieving an objective that I consciously want, so why am I doing this?
Yeah, you know, that's actually a very interesting question that we look at a lot at EFT, which is, you know, the aspect of self-sabotage. Why would you do something like that that's going to cause you pain? And why would you self-sabotage your success? And, you know, usually we can see things like, you know, someone is just afraid to make a phone call and doesn't do the things that they need to do to get going and work. Well, what's behind that? So we try to determine, well, that might be a fear of success. You know, last time that I was successful, someone made fun of me and I didn't appreciate it, so now I'm not going to be successful, I'm not going to stand out anymore. And that's where a lot of that self-sabotage comes from. And we use EFT, we use the tapping to collapse that.
You know, often I've seen people that possess so much talent, so much drive, so much everything, that they repeatedly failed because they would sabotage their own projects. And, you know, I wouldn't say that it was fear of success so much as it was they were punishing themselves. For some weird reason that I didn't get, they felt a need to punish themselves. They didn't deserve success.
Well, not deserving, you just said it. That's a big aspect of it. And, you know, the EFT setup statement, the basics of it, which we did before, is, you know, even though I have this problem, you fill in the blank problem, you can either do the choices method, which we did, where I choose to relax or I choose to feel good, or the basic one is deeply, completely accept myself. And that's how you sort of set it up, saying, okay, even though I'm doing all these things, I accept myself. And that's hard for a lot of people to say, but that's an important step, to be able to say, I do deserve to feel better and to be happier and to have all this joy in my life.
Mm-hmm. So if you're sabotaging yourself in terms of financial success, career success, etc., the tapping can also be used to address those issues.
Yeah, absolutely. Both from a really practical level. So if we look at, you know, I've got a fear of making cold calls or going out and speaking in public, you can tap specifically on that. So, you know, even though I'm afraid to make this call, or even though I can't get started on this project, that's the very specific actionable stuff. And then there's the sort of general, deserving to be happy, deserving success, not feeling good enough, wanting to sabotage, not wanting to stand out. Everybody's got different issues. You know, and sometimes we have funny things where someone will stay at the same salary for a big period of time because they don't want to make more money than their father did. Because their father, if they made more money than dad did, dad would resent them. You know, we come up with all these weird little things in our brain that then dictate the rest of our lives.
You know, speaking of the father thing, one of the most common ones I've heard, and maybe it's more common now that I'm getting a little older, is my father only lived to be age X, and therefore I'm approaching age X, and that's all the longer I'm going to live too.
Absolutely. It's that, and it's also...
No, it's like, you're programming yourself to all of that, dude. Quit.
You are. You completely are programming yourself. There's that, and then there's also the hereditary disease sort of thing, like, mom had breast cancer, so I am going to get it, you know, and as if it's some inevitable thing. And I just don't see it's the case. And then you
find and I can understand that one, because in my case, I was told not you could get diabetes, you may get diabetes. It was a case of you will get diabetes.
Wow.
All you can do is postpone its onset.
I mean, that's a heavy pronouncement.
And that was a decade ago.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say? You know, maybe this increase in diabetes that we're seeing is being programmed into the population. Really, because, granted, all my grandparents and both my parents are diabetics.
Sure.
But is it fair to say that I'm definitely going to become one?
Well, it's not. I mean, nutritional factors do play such a role. And in terms of the genes aspect, the new science on genes, which is a new science called epigenetics, and you can Google epigenetics and see it's EPI and then the word genetics, a whole new brand of science is coming out. And what it basically says is that we have these genes, but whether or not they express themselves, sort of like turning the key, is up to us. So, beliefs and stress and nutritional aspects, these are all little, keys that can turn on or off the genes. So, we come in with a certain amount of, genetic predisposition, but it's up to us, our lifestyle, behavior, thoughts, actions, choices that turn on or off those genes.
Well, I'm going to turn on some genes. I've recently been working on the genealogy project for my own family and discovered that I had relatives, ancestors who were living to be nearly 100 years old in the 1700s and 1800s.
Oh, that's great.
I'm like, hey, you know what? I love those genes.
Yeah. Well, that's an empowering belief. It's going to take you a long way. I mean, just think of waking up every day knowing you're going to live to be 120. Just having that belief in how that affects the chemistry of your body and the way you act and move and the choices you made, that's very empowering.
Why not believe in positive things like that, too? I was actually very surprised to see that. Because most people in that era didn't live to be that old.
No, yeah.
Granted, there's a few that only lived to be 40 or so, but, a surprisingly high number, probably 3 out of 4, lived to be well over 70, and some of them were well over 90.
That's great.
Well, and I thought that was impressive.
Why not be positive? In the worst case, you die one day, you don't even realize, so what are you going to do,
Hey, act like today is the last day of your life, because you never know.
Yeah.
And besides that, you'll have a really good time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and one of the things that we haven't really talked about in the course of our discussion is what kind of studies were done to support the ideas behind EFT?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the research is really is cutting edge. I mean, it's just coming out. It's sort of catching up to usually what happens with, you know, with new discoveries is that the research is so expensive to conduct that it seems to take almost 10 or 20 years for the science to catch up with what the people on the ground are doing. But we're starting to see, you know, a researcher by the name of Dawson Church that you can look up, and he has a fair amount of studies that he's conducted where, you know, done basic tests with control groups, you know, having a control group of veterans come in and measuring their stress levels before and after in a variety of different parameters, and then seeing that EFT works very effectively as opposed to the control subjects that didn't get EFT. So we're starting to see that happen. We definitely need more. And I think, you know, in order for that to happen, we need the people on the ground who use it and then are now saying to their doctors, you've got to try this. And, you know, if we get enough of a groundswell, that's when the money will start pouring in for more research and to really understand what's going on here.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think it's a little bit exciting because, you know, like I said, I was really excited when I got the first email. I was like tapping. Okay, at first I thought it was going to be something about ghosts. I really did. I thought, ghosts, okay. And, you know, because there's several things about ghost hunters referred to as tapping. So, you know, I opened the email expecting ghostly stuff and instead try it on everything. I'm like, ooh. And, so to find out this was a healing process, it was like, try it on everything, tapping, EFT, this is different.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was really interested after I read a little bit more about it. It was like, I think this is something that people really should hear about.
Yeah.
When you're trying to learn about it, you know, to learn to practice it on yourself. You know, can you successfully do it with a website, book, et cetera?
Yeah, absolutely. You can have an experience. I mean, just think about the experience we had. You know, people could have tapped along there with, I'm sure there's somebody out there with a headache or a migraine, and they could have tapped along and got similar relief. So there's plenty to get started, and we have a free ebook on the site. If you go to the website, on the left side of the page, you'll see a sign up for a free ebook, 15 Ways to Health, Happiness, and Abundance, where we take you through the tapping sequence and a bunch of other, you know, really interesting information. So there's plenty out there to get started and more and to get results. And, you know, just back to the sort of the science and the credibility of it briefly, I don't know if you recognize some of the people in the movie, but for the people that are familiar with the movie The Secret, we have a couple people who are in this movie as well, like Jack Canfield. Jack Canfield is the originator of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series that everybody's seen out there somewhere because it's everywhere. And Joe Vitale is also a best-selling author. Bob Proctor is in the film. And then we round that out with doctors and psychologists like Dr. Bruce Lipton, Dr. Joseph Mercola from Mercola.com. That's just a great natural health website that everybody should check out. And Dr. Patricia Carrington, who's a psychologist who actually wrote the companion book for the film. We have the documentary, which is 90 minutes long, and then we have a 240-page companion book where you can read more specifics about the case studies and then applications for all different things like applying it to sports and to pain and to fears and really getting specific for how you can do that for yourself.
Somebody
wants to start on the journey, there's plenty of material to digest and go through, but most importantly, learn the basics and have an experience. Just try it for yourself and get relief. You know, it's like if you're in pain right now, just you have to decide for yourself that's enough, that you don't want to be in pain anymore. So, you know, you've heard people talking about it, and we've seen your result in the migraine. It's funny that I see that happen a lot, too, where your migraine was a 3 or 4, and then 10 or 15 minutes later, the work we did sort of evened out the rest of it, and it went down even further by itself.
Right.
So.
Yeah, right now it's down to just a faint pressure. There's no pain. You know, it's really not anything that I would even be concerned about, you know, at this point. Whereas it really did kind of... I had this nagging headache before the migraine started, and which is often a precursor in my case, and I just couldn't really shake it all afternoon. And so, you know, now I'm down to way below where I was even before the migraine started. So that's good as far as I'm concerned.
That's right. And what did it cost you in terms of pills or medicines or doctor visits?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I happen to have an aversion after trying a couple, as they termed it, prophylactic medications. I said, you know, these side effects are actually worse than the migraine. And I wouldn't use them. And I'd actually, for now, several years, I used a homeopathic remedy. And that worked really well for me. But as the migraines got less often, I quit keeping it on hand because it would go bad before I used it.
Sure.
And so, you know, now I probably don't get maybe two or three a year.
Yeah.
And I don't even have a room I can darken anymore. You know? So, you know, over time I've gotten much better at managing them, which is usually a case for me. It was always short-circuiting, make sure that, you know, they didn't get a chance to start.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, stress, like I said, you know, it'll really get to you. It's that straw thing, you know. Yeah, you're not paying attention. The next thing you know, you're buried under 4 tons of straw.
Sure. Well, I want to hear, too, what happens on your vertigo. And we can check back in on that.
Trying on that? Yeah, because first I got to find a pole to look up. I live in Louisiana. There's no place to look down besides standing on a bridge. If you're standing on a bridge looking down, somebody's going to come with a police car.
Yeah. Well, you know, and if you were to do that, you can do that. Obviously, if you put yourself in that situation, then that can bring the intensity way up. But that's not necessary. You can do it by just talking about it and thinking about it and thinking about past experiences. So you might just say, even though I have this vertigo, even though I have this fear of, you know, looking up a pole or looking down or fear of heights, and go through a couple of rounds just expressing all your emotions.
But see, it's really not a fear of looking up or down. The vertigo starts and then I'm afraid of falling because I do fall.
Yeah, yeah.
About it, and it doesn't make me afraid to think about it.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah. So you can just tap on, even though I have this vertigo, and if, you know, if you can think of other past experiences or try to recreate the event in your mind, that, you know, looking at what happened last time and running that movie through your mind and then tapping on that sequence, that's one way to address it.
Uh-huh.
There's sort of a lot of different techniques to approach it. The most aggressive one being, you know, actually looking up at the pole and tapping at the same time. And that can be fine when you're looking at a pole and you know it's not going to be a big deal. But for somebody who has a tremendous fear of heights, they could never get that far. They wouldn't go up an elevator, you know. They just couldn't bring the intensity up to that level.
Well, for me, it's strictly when the visual happens and the vertigo starts, that's the only time I can think about it. It doesn't bother me a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? A slope in front of me doesn't bother me. It's only a sheer drop and a certain way of looking at it that will kick it off. And I don't know why. And it doesn't matter if I'm looking up or down.
Yeah.
And one step is sufficient to just change the visual enough where it doesn't bother me at all. So it's kind of a weird thing why it affects me that way, I guess. But it's the only way it's ever been.
You have to try it out and report back to everyone to see if it works.
Yeah, it's a good excuse to take a trip and go climb around in some canyons, right?
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. But it really, you know, it's, I guess phobias are kind of like that, you know. I never thought about my fear of spiders as a phobia, really.
Yeah.
I don't scream and run, but I figure that large quantities of something toxic should be sprayed on them, and then while they're drowning in it, you get a 2x4 and squish them, and then you don't use that room for months because there's bug guts in there.
Yeah, that's I would say a mild to medium phobia.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, you know, the thought of handling a tarantula, I don't think so.
Yeah. That can be okay. I mean, tarantula is a poisonous spider, so you know there are some people say, well, I don't want to get rid of my fear of crossing the road and because I can get hit by a car or something. Well, there's fears that make sense and others that don't. You know, we're not saying go in the woods. Oh, we got rid of your fear of snakes, so go pick up that venomous cobra. You know,
right.
Silly. But it's about the fear of, you know, the spider on TV or the snake on TV, or like you said, the spider that is already gone and you killed it, but you're stay away from the room for months because of bug guts, you know.
That's actually an exaggeration, but bug guts do gross me out. I have to admit that. Yeah.
And it's also about things that hamper your life. I mean, if people can be fine saying, look, I'm scared of spiders, but I never see them, they never bother me, it's not a fear I need to go
over. I can spot a spider at 100 yards. I will admit that, okay? No, not quite 100 yards, but if there's a spider in the house, I'm going to know it. And I laugh because a lady I work with is 100 times worse over cockroaches.
Okay.
If she sees a cockroach, she's climbing up on a chair. And ours fly, so I don't know why climbing on a chair works. And even my daughter, when she was visiting and a cockroach flew in the door, because they're everywhere outside, okay? They're big, they're ugly, they're gross. It's part of New Orleans, you know?
Yeah.
And she was like, I should just get a broom and chase it outside, you know? It didn't bother me much other than, it's gross if a cat crunches them. But outside of that, But, I can see where tapping would then help a lot on the phobia issues, because some phobias are way worse. I mean, if you can't function, and you're having trouble in your personal life, you really do need something to help you cope with it. And I think phobias are probably one of the sneakiest things in people's lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
And why is EFT different than other methods of healing?
Well, I think the success rate is through the roof from what I've seen personally. What really stands out to me about it is just how easy it is to learn. And, we've said it a couple of times that you do the same thing every time, which is, seems crazy, but it works. So once you learn it, you can obviously... we have 50 or 60 free interviews on that EFT Revealed site where you can, learn more about the subtleties of it and try to figure out exactly what's going on, different things, and just to get better clues. And you can become a better practitioner, obviously, or a better student of the practice. But the basics of it is the same every time, which to me is so empowering. We need something that people can just take it and run with it for themselves.
Yeah. And this is something that people can do at home. You don't have to go see a special guru in, some obscure location that's going to cost a small fortune to get to.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't have to swallow any magic potions that are potentially filled with all sorts of who knows what. and we laugh about it, but the thing is I've seen people go pay good money to do this. And you wondered if that wasn't what was killing them rather than the disease, with this weird stuff they were eating and drinking that some guy sitting in a hut somewhere told them to do.
Yeah.
And not everything natural and ancient medicine was necessarily healthy, I guess, is the way I look at it.
Sure.
And
You never know. I mean, like you said, in the beginning, it's non-invasive and non-threatening, so why not give it a shot? It really is very, very safe.
Yeah, that was my thing. It's non-invasive, it's non-toxic, there's no side effect that potentially going to hurt you. I really just don't see any downside to this at all.
Yeah, that's exciting, especially after you watch the TV commercials now with the drugs, and there's a list of 30 side effects. It's like, who wants any of this, even as a possibility? It's crazy.
Well, not only as a possibility. I mean, some of the side effects, and it's just things that I've been prescribed, which is a really short list because I really rarely get a prescription. They've had things like respiratory arrest, cardiac arrest, death. I'm like, do I really want to take this?
Yeah. But people do. I mean, we're just used to taking it. Oh, I guess that's what we do. Like, well, if you have to take it, then you have to. But why
why not try this first, you know? Go for a natural cure. Go for the tapping. Go for a nutrition approach. Go for something that's clearly not going to have a side effect.
Beautiful.
You know.
What was that?
Someone else's radio show wants to join us.
Yeah. Interesting voice, anyhow.
So, try it first before you got to pop the pill or do something, you know, more serious. You know, before.
Yeah, what I like too is that this doesn't say, okay, quit taking your blood pressure medication or quit taking your cancer treatment pills or whatever. This can be used in conjunction with
your
other treatments without any interactions of drugs, cross reactions. You know, there's no downside that I can really see. Even if it didn't do what it was supposed to do, then the worst it could do is nothing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we featured Donna in the film who, when we filmed her, was undergoing chemotherapy for breast cancer. And she said that the worst part of it wasn't the chemo itself, is the fact that she couldn't sleep. She hadn't slept through the night in months. And she said like 4 months of just not being able to sleep. And on the first night where she was at the event and did tapping and work and all the stuff, she slept through the night. So it was like, you know, we weren't saying anything about get off the chemo or do anything radical or this will get rid of your cancer. We were saying, hey, let's improve the quality of life and use it as an adjunct. And she was sleeping. So that's exciting, you know, for someone going through chemo, being able to sleep is a great result.
For anybody who's not able to sleep, getting to sleep is a great result. And anybody who's in pain is obviously going to have more trouble sleeping.
Sleeping, absolutely.
And you know, it's a common thing.
Yeah, for sleeping, you know, a lot of people using, even if they're just restless and can't get to sleep, they just say, you know, even though I can't get to sleep and I'm anxious and I can't let go of the day, and it's a great thing to do before bed to just sort of tap away the day and clear out all the anxiety from the day so you can actually rest and not be, you know, most people are falling asleep just stressing out about everything that's going on. Sort of like, you know, now, tonight, you can fall asleep without all that resentment about the other day. And I guarantee that's going to make you sleep better at some level. I don't know how much, but you're going to sleep a little deeper and a little more peaceful because you've let that go.
Well, Nick, guess what?
All good things
must come to an end. Yeah. So, anyhow, real quick, you want to give your website so people can read more about this?
Yeah, absolutely. They can find me at tryitoneverything.com. And that's just as it sounds. tryitoneverything.com. And plenty of free resources there. They can get a copy of the film and read about what's going on. And you know, I said a couple times, but get started. Just try it, give it a shot, and you'll see the results.
Okay. Well, folks, I've enjoyed talking with Nick Orton tonight, and I hope you've enjoyed it just as much. Next week, we won't be on the air, as I live in New Orleans, as does the station owner, and in New Orleans on Mardi Gras Day, everything from mail to the banks to radio shows come to a screeching halt for that particular day. So next week, instead of talking with you, I'll be sipping a daiquiri and catching beads as I watch parades. We'll be returning in March with more great guests, fascinating topics, and I hope you will all join us again. Check out the website, exogenynetwork.com. That's E-X-O-G-E-N-Y network.com for information about our guests, past and future. For now, I am your host, Thea Scott, and good night.